participate in the fun. So she, because she is very similar to, her luster is very similar to Subalsaka, Krishna's dear friend. So she also dresses as a cowherd boy, taking the place of Subal. And then other gopis also join the fun. I don't know in the altar was this morning. The lotus feet, usually the lotus feet are shown because as they dress, Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, because the gopis dress like sakas, so naturally the lotus feet are seen. I was trying to, maybe, to see. And also today is the disappearance day of three great Vaishnava Acharyas, great devotees in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gadadhar Das Prabhu, not Gadadhar Pandit from the Panchatattva, but another Gadadhar Das, who was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya and also was a close associate of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Sri Nityananda Prabhu to spread the Sankirtan movement in Bengal, Sri Gadadhar Das was one of his associates. And he was actually a very active preacher. He will approach everybody in a fearless mood. At that time, Bengal was ruled by Muslims. And there was a Muslim ruler who was approached by Gadadhar Das, and Gadadhar Das asked him, please chant Hare Krishna. And then he said, I will chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. So Gadadhar Das started to dance in ecstasy, saying that you already have chanted Hare Krishna. So unconsciously he made even the Muslim leaders to pronounce the holy name of Krishna. Then also it's the disappearance day of Sri Dhananjaya Pandit, who was one of the 12 close associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. There are, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes 12 Gopalas. Gopalas means they are cowherd boys in Krishna Lila, and they have a very playful mood, and they serve Sri Nityananda because Sri Nityananda has a very playful mood as Lord Balaram himself. So Sri Dhananjaya Pandit also disappeared on this blessed day. And Sri Srinivasacharya, one of the three powerful Vaishnava Acharyas who preached Lord Chaitanya's mission after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure, one generation after. There were three preachers, Sri Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Shyamananda Pandit, Sri Srinivasacharya. And the three of them were sent by Srila Jiva Goswami to take the books of the Goswamis from Vrindavan to Bengal. And the books were stolen by one king who was a thief, actually. He was a king, but was not a real kshatriya. He was a fellow who was exploiting people, or at least had some tendency. He had an astrologer who will see what was passing by the kingdom, and then he will send the thieves to steal for him. So the astrologer told him, there is a very great treasure passing by. There is a group, a caravan. They bring the greatest treasure you can imagine. And these were actually the books of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Of course, he didn't understand what the treasure meant. He thought it was material treasure, but was actually the divine treasure of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, as explained by his dear confidential disciples. So the king's thieves stole the books, and then when they saw, it is only books, so they put them in storage place. They didn't take the trouble to explore what was in the books. Or if they look at them, they didn't really understand what was happening, what was the message communicated in those books. So Srinivasacharya, he rescued the books by challenging the core pandit and by explaining the Bhagavatam in very beautiful ways according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these three acharyas disappear. We will start singing Jaya Nilo Premadana. If someone likes to distribute the lyrics in the books, in case some devotees need them, it's the books, song books. So we can pray for blessings in order to imbibe the mood of these three Vaishnava acharyas, the mood of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, and also the blessings of Lord Krishna in this playful transcendental day of Gopashtami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gadadhar Das Prabhu ki jai, Shri Dhananjaya Pandit ki jai, Shri Srinivasacharya Prabhu ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nittai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Palam Shukamukatam Rittadravasam Mutam Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bubibabukaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 6, entitled Activities of Lord Rishabhadev. Text number 9, which is written in prose. So I will just read it. Yasya kilanu charitam upakarnya konka venka kutakanam rahar rajarhan namo pashikshya kalavadharma utkrishyamane bhavittavyena vimohitaha svadharma patam akutobhayam apahaya kupatta pakandam asamanjasam nijamanishaya Mandak Sampravarta Yishyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear King, the King of Konka, Venka, and Kutaka, whose name was Arhat, heard of the activities of Rishabhadev, and imitating Rishabhadev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, King Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which are free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of the Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions followed this atheistic system. Purport. When Lord Sri Krishna was present on this planet, a person named Paundraka imitated the four-handed Narayana and declared himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He desired to compete with Krishna. Similarly, during the time of Lord Rishabhadev, the king of Konka and Venka acted like a Paramahamsa and imitated Lord Rishabhadev. He introduced a system of religion and took advantage of the fallen condition of the people in this age of Kali. It is said in Vedic literatures that people in this age will be more inclined to accept anyone as their Supreme Lord and accept any religious system opposed to Vedic principles. The people in this age are described as Manda Sumanda Mattaya. Generally, they have no spiritual culture, and therefore they are very fallen. Due to this, they will accept any religious system. Due to their misfortune, they forget the Vedic principles. Following non-Vedic principles in this age, they think themselves the Supreme Lord and thus spread the cult of atheism all over the world. Translation again. Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, the king of Konka, Venka, and Kutak, whose name was Arhat, heard of the activities of Rishabhadev. And, imitating Rishabhadev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, King Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which are free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of the Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions followed this atheistic system. This is an important verse for us, important verse and purport, because deals with preserving the legacy of the great Vaishnava Acharyas and also preserving the legacy of scripture. We accept scripture, we accept the Acharyas, but the question is, how much do we understand them? How much do we are able to practice their teachings? And not just to practice them, but to transfer them to the following generations. This is one of the main concerns of ISKCON leaders in the present time, especially those leaders who were directly initiated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Of course, others who have not been initiated by Him, but who have positions of leadership and who identified with Srila Prabhupada as much as direct Srila Prabhupada's disciples, are also naturally concerned. There is a special feeling, though, carried by direct Srila Prabhupada's disciples, in that they had a very personal experience in Srila Prabhupada's direct presence, and especially those who are senior, who had close Vapu association with Srila Prabhupada, were able to see Srila Prabhupada in action, correcting misconceptions and speaking strongly. We can also experience that through his books, like here in this purport. Srila Prabhupada is speaking strongly against those religious systems which deviated from the Vedic literature. And it is not just a matter of doctrinal deviation in the dogmatic, from the dogmatic point of view, like this is dogma and has to be accepted, and this is Vedas, is the best religion, and anything against the Vedas is not a good religious system. That's not the point, but the point here is that this Arhat, this king of Venka, Konka, and Kutak, who was a successor, someone who appeared after Lord Rishabhadev, he imitated the avaduta behavior of Lord Rishabhadev without understanding his teachings and understanding his purpose. Lord Rishabhadev, he taught the principles of devotional service to his sons, and he asked them to be pure devotees of the Lord. He teach them renunciation, but not any type of renunciation, but God-conscious renunciation. However, the big deviation found, here it is mentioned, Jain Dharma, and others are mentioned. Buddhism will be another doctrine, which they follow also Dharma, that is Buddhist Dharma. And there are many good principles both in Buddhist Dharma and in Jain Dharma, which are similar to Vedic Dharma. For example, we find the principles of Ahimsa, non-violence. We find the principles of Satya, truthfulness, Brahmacharya, chastity or celibacy. Other principles such as santosh, satisfaction. All these principles are found in these systems of dharma or of elevation. But the big problem, both in Jain Dharma and in Buddhist Dharma, is that they deny the existence of God. Therefore, they are described as Pakandis. Hear it in the verse. Pakandara. Kupatta kapan Pakandara. And Srila Prabhupada translates this as Kupata, Pata. Pata means path. Pakandam. The wrong path of atheism. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada uses the term Pashandi, meaning Someone who is an offender. Offender. Why someone is an offender? Especially because he or she is denying the Supreme Lord, the existence of God. And that's actually an insult. Isn't it? It's an insult. We have so many laws. We talk about laws of karma, laws of nature. These persons acknowledge the principles of the laws of nature. But who is making the law? Who is the legislator? So the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, even if we don't understand who is God, at least in a system of religion which follows the Vedic system, whether directly following from the cultural point of view or indirectly following by accepting the existence of God through any other religious tradition, be it Christianity or Islam, there is the acceptance of God. But at least there is, that's God consciousness. That's the beginning, that's Vaishnavism. Srila Prabhupada strongly criticizes these other systems because they are missing the main point of Dharma. The purpose of Dharma is to please God. Atapum birdu yashreshta, the Bhagavatam says, Varna shrama vibhagashaha, svanustitasya dharmasya, samsitir haritoshanam. The purpose of following Dharma, duties, religious principles, is to please God, to please Hari, to awaken bhakti, to awaken the natural energy, divine energy of love, which is dormant within ourselves, and which is meant to be expressed in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in a personal relationship, according to our natural choice, according to our natural inclination, as we like to serve God. There are no constraints in that. Everyone, from the spiritual point of view, can express his relationship with God according to his particular inclination. Of course, I said there are no constraints, and maybe here I should qualify what that means. No constraints from the point of view of the spiritual realization. But because there is a tendency to become deviated in our present condition of life, there is a tendency to invent things and to go astray from the path. In Kali Yuga, we people, here Srila Prabhupada is talking about the people of Kali Yuga. The people in this age are like that. They have no spiritual culture. They are fallen. Sometimes we may think they are like that, they are like that, right? We point out our fingers to other people. But they means us. They, Prabhupada is talking about the people of Kali Yuga. He can speak like that because he is not a person of Kali Yuga, being a liberated Vaishnavacharya. So he is not a person of the age of Kali. He can speak like that strongly. But we should remember that he's speaking for us. Like in one occasion, I think, was Brahmananda Prabhu, one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples, very close, very dear to Srila Prabhupada, who was a bit bothered by the fact that Srila Prabhupada was speaking about so much about impersonalists. the Mayavadis this, the Mayavadis that, the impersonalists this, the impersonalists, they are offenders. He was kind of bothered by that. He had been reading yoga books, books about transcendental philosophy, about Dharma, Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever books he had read. And he expressed to Srila Prabhupada, why do you speak so much about impersonalists? Where are these impersonalists? In India, maybe that's okay that you speak like that, because there are many of such philosophers. But where are these impersonalists? Who are they? And Srila Prabhupada said, this is you. Because we all have, we have this tendency to deny God and to proclaim that we are God. Proclaim that we can take the position of God, even if in a spiritual way. We become liberated and then we become the one. That's the idea. We become God. We become the one, the origin. You are God. You just need to realize it. So that was Srila Prabhupada speaks very strongly. And in the age of Kali, we, all of us, have the tendency, we shouldn't think we are an exception, all of us have the tendency to become deviated. And this is, I don't know if you ever, I'm not a driver, but I have seen it. I have been the co-pilot, so I have seen that. Have you ever drive a car where the direction is not, doesn't work properly? Or have you traveled with someone who was driving such a car, who had that experience? So, how it feels? What happens when you drive such a car? You have to be constantly correcting. The driver has to be watching all the time, and he's constantly correcting. He's going to the side, back. So in Kali Yuga, we are like that. We are like cars. We came with a defect of in the fabrication, fabric defect, Kali Yuga fabric defect. We belong to that fabric. I think it was the company Toyota. I heard some months ago, 1 year ago, something happened with the Toyota cars. I forgot what was the accident. Something serious happened, and this gave them a bad name to the company. And this was because there was a certain amount of production of cars with the same defect. It was a serious defect. So Kali Yuga people are like that. We have a serious defect. In that case, the Lord doesn't make mistakes. It's not by chance that we are born like that. There is a purpose for it. And not just a purpose of punishing us, but also in the age of Kali, we have a great opportunity to partake in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People in the age of Kali, even though we experience so many defects, Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan, Asti Eko Mahanguna, the Bhagavatam says, the age of Kali is like an ocean of defects. Ocean of defects, it means it is not difficult to find something to criticize about anybody. You can look at anybody and quickly make a big list of defects. Isn't it? It's very easy. If we will do a brainstorm, of course, here we are in Vaishnava Sangha, so that doesn't happen here. Normally, doesn't happen, or shouldn't happen. But the tendency is there. If we do a brainstorm of defects, we can feel many, many white boards, black boards, green boards, all kinds of boards. Because we have the tendency to find defects in other people. But the Bhagavatam says, asti eko mahanguna. But there is a great quality. The great quality is that kirtanate va krishnasya mukta sangha parambrajet. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, we are able to achieve the supreme abode, parambrajet. We are able to achieve the supreme perfection. So this is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. But yet, the warning here is, we have the defect of the age of Kali. Our direction tends to be deviated. And we see this again and again. We see it in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna tells Arjuna in chapter 4 how the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore he's speaking again the Gita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, short after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were serious deviations. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur identified many different groups of apasampradayas. Apasampradaya means theoretically there is a connection with the original source, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, like there is a connection to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the case of our sampradaya, but practically the essence of the message is lost. Or in this case, there is dharma, there is discussion about moksha. Even the Jains mention Maharaja Rishabhadev as their first liberated soul. They do not mention Arhat, by the way, so it's not in their name of list. We don't know. This will take some research. Someone will have to research whether the same person had more than one name. That could be the case. Sometimes these things happen. Or simply the information is not there in the tradition. Because Jainism is ancient, it's according to, of course, the chronology is not so easy to calculate, but it's, scholars say, between 6th to 9th century before current era. So, okay, we could say, from the point of view of the Vedas, of the traditional chronological calculation, we will say prior to that. Anyway, we don't. Chronology is, it's a very questionable area, and there are many opinions, particularly in giving data to Vedic scriptures and to ancient religions of India. So, but the main point we're discussing here is deviation from the original message. So dharma is mentioned. Jain jinna means liberated soul, to become liberated. So the idea of moksha is there, liberation from repeated birth and death. But the purpose of dharma, the purpose of liberation is missed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not recognized, which is the greatest possible blunder. Of course, there are other types of deviations, which could even, according to Shrish Upanishad, could be considered, in one sense, even worse. And that is to acknowledge the personality of Godhead in theory, theoretically, but not in behavior, not following, not accepting his instructions, nor following them. So in one sense, that's even worse, because it is a misrepresentation of what real Dharma is. Like, for example, in the case of Jain and Buddhist Dharma, traditionally it is mentioned there are Astika and Nastika philosophies. Astika means that is. It means it follows authority. It follows the Veda. Nastika means they do not follow. That is not. They do not follow the Veda. But sometimes on the name of the Veda, on the name of God, great sinful activities are committed. And that's also a very serious way of deviation. And in the Krishna consciousness movement, this is actually a very delicate subject, and requires deep attention, sincere study, prayer, and loyalty to the previous acharyas in order not to become deviated. Because we have the tendency is there. And constantly we need to check, this is what I'm doing, is this according to the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Vedas? Is this according to the teachings of Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is it according to those Vaishnava Acharyas who has carried the legacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Uttama Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, pure love of Godhead? Or are we gradually watering down the essential message and practice? This is a question we need to constantly ask ourselves. And especially, we need to ask such a question because of the influence of modernity. Yesterday we were hearing about Kala Desha Patra. Time, place, and person are three important factors we need to consider in applying the principles of devotional service. So this is there. Times change very quickly, especially nowadays. Change at very great speed. Someone sent me a link some days ago, and yesterday finally I managed to see it. Did you see the Madhavas? Who saw the Madhavas? You are getting old-fashioned, you people. What are you? The Madhavas. There was a contest in India. The contest was, can you remind me what else was the title of the program? India Has Got Talent. This is a program, TV program. India Has Got Talent. And then the youth go there and they perform, different musicians. So there was a group of Hare Krishna devotees from Chandigarh, India, and they went to participate in the contest. And there were messages on Pamho. Many of you are not on Pamho, that's why you didn't see it. I'm not advertising Pamho, it's getting out of fashion also. But anyway, it was sent there particularly for people from India to go and vote in favor of the Madhavas. So they were playing, they started to sing with guitars and drums and Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama Patita Pavana Sita Ram, and then singing the Mahamantra Hare Krishna with great speed. Mahamantra with a traditional melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. One girl, all of them with beads. They had the beads hanging, the bead bag. Tilak. The ladies not with sari, a bit more modern, singing with a mic like that. Indian ladies was a... So, anyway, they got they went to the grand finale. They didn't win because they didn't allow them to repeat the same song. So the next song was not as powerful as. Anyway, this can be a confessional interpretation of a practitioner. But anyway, they didn't win, but they were number three in the contest. So someone will say. Some devotees will say, some of you may be thinking, this is bogus. What are they doing? This is, they are diluting the message. How they sing the Mahamantra in such a way, such untraditional presentation. They are buying in the ways of Kali. Kali is affecting them. And some may say, no, this is Yukta Vairagya. They are singing the holy name of the Lord on TV, national TV in India. It's the second most populated country of the world after China. And soon the number one. There is a competition who goes first. So therefore, and India is very influential now. In the world, it's becoming more and more influential. Therefore, we should do these things. We should use modern ways of presenting Krishna consciousness. So certainly this creates attention and differences of opinion even within the Sampradaya. So that poses a real serious challenge. Therefore, we need to pray to the Lord to give us the intelligence to do it properly. Pray to Srila Prabhupada to give us the intelligence to represent him properly and to preserve his legacy while remaining relevant. Because Srila Prabhupada, he did in several occasions, he was quite unconventional. When he went, for example, in the early days in San Francisco, he went to the Avalon Hall, where all these heavy groups, I mean, heavy, right? Maybe now they are not heavy anymore, but in those years they were heavy groups. I forgot the names, but Moby, whatever it was called, some Moby something, and the Grateful Dread, or this type of groups. I was reading some days ago in Ranchor Prabhu's book on the beginnings of Krishna consciousness in the UK, and before that he talks about the beginnings of Krishna consciousness in US, in New York and San Francisco. And in San Francisco, Prabhupada went to such a place with all the youth taking LSD. They were completely intoxicated, and someone could question, how come that the sannyasi went to such a place? But he didn't hesitate. He was taken by his beginning disciples. He was preaching to... That group was attracted to Oriental spirituality, so he didn't hesitate to give them the holy name of the Lord. And of course, he did his thing. He chanted the holy name of the Lord, and he left. He got a big ovation, claps, and everyone, and then he left. And he told the disciples who were accompanying him, he told them, this is not a place, they were brahmacharis, this is not a place for a brahmachari. And they left. But he went there and delivered the message. So it is not always easy to distinguish what's proper, what's improper. And it seems that one of the key elements is the consciousness, the loyalty, the devotion to the parampara, and the pure intention to give Krishna and devotion to Krishna to other people. And yet, it's delicate. It's not that easy. These are some thoughts related to this topic of the deviation that took place enacted by Arhat, King Arhat, deviating from the teachings of Lord Rishabhadev by choosing to imitate him instead of following his instructions, by changing the essential instructions in relation to the principles of Bhagavad Dharma or devotional service to the Lord. Thank you for your patient listening. If you'd like to ask questions or make one or two comments. I didn't study Jainism in detail, but they are searching for moksha, for liberation. So they are seeking a type of nirvana state of existence. Avala Mataji has taught world religions. Maybe if you want to add something, because... So the main principles are compassion. So the idea is to attain moksha. So it is not, I mean, it's not from the general point of view, it's a noble course, we could say, if we compare to the general people, we should see there is piety, there is cultivation of the motto of goodness, search for transcendence. In that sense, we should honor and we should value such spiritualists. They are spiritual people. But because they deny God, we could say that's the only defect. If they would just add God to their philosophy, that's all. Only accept God, surrender to God. And the same applies to Buddhism. Any last point, question, comment? Srila Prabhupada, we sing Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So it's nihilism and monism or impersonalism. They are very similar. Nihilism means they are aiming to, they see liberation as zero. That's how it is explained. Reaching the nirvana, annihilation of all existence. Because all the world is a world of, it's a place of suffering. Therefore, it should be annihilated. Srila Prabhupada explains it, giving the analogy of the person who has a very painful disease with big pain, and the person is asking the doctor. The doctor is not able to relieve him from the pain, and he's asking the doctor, please kill me, kill me. So that's Buddhism, kill me, kill me. Kill the mind. The mind is the enemy, kill it. And in personalism, it's very similar, but there is an idea of being the one. There is only one, and I am the one. There is only one. I am the one. Or I am part of the one, which means ultimately I am the one. So it's a slight, very, not big difference, some differences, naturally, philosophically, but very similar from the point of view of Vaishnava perspective. In both cases, the personality of Godhead is denied, which makes liberation for a Vaishnava who is searching for or who is experiencing a personal loving relationship to God. For a Vaishnava, such type of liberation, Kaivalya Narakayate, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, such liberation is equal to hellish life for a devotee. Because how can be to be liberated without Krishna? What's the point? To be alone in the world without Krishna, what's the point? Yes, many of the forms of the Lord which appear from what I read from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not all of them, some of them only manifest in the material world. I didn't do a deep research on that, but many of the forms of the Lord, they have a Vaikuntha planet of their own. Even though they appear for some other mission, they have their own planet. So, I don't know exactly if, I mean, according to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami, we could say that if somebody will worship Lord Buddha as God, he could go to his abode. In that picture must have been authorized by Srila Prabhupada, otherwise why they put it in the name Buddha. So I will have to do research myself to double check if Lord Buddha has a personal planet. But I assume that if it's on the picture, Srila Prabhupada authorized it. Is that picture of the Vaikuntha planets of the Bhagavatam? Is that the one? Uh-huh. So, in that sense, someone who worships a particular form of God can go and live in a planet with that particular form. This is confirmed by Sanatana Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He gives examples even of those who worship the Mahapurusha, the form of the Lord, universal Lord with many heads and many arms. Gopa Kumar saw that in Vaikuntha. So the Lord reciprocates according to the desire, the particular devotion of the devotee. So in that sense, those Buddhists, there are a few, who accept Buddha as God. There are some, not many, but or at least they accept the state of Buddhas, a closer connection to a personal understanding, like Mahayana Buddhism, is closer to devotion to God. They may come closer to Lord Buddha. I don't know exactly how it takes place, but those principles are explained in the scripture. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.